Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. On behalf of Pastors David and Nicole Binion, thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church. Now, let's listen to today's message.
Hey guys, it's such an honor to come to you today here on the Dwell Facebook Live page. My name is Pastor John. My wife and I serve here on the pastoral team with our pastors, Pastors Dave and Nicole. Thank you for tuning in today. And as we go into our message today, we've been in a series this month, and we didn't even know everything that was going to happen this month was going to happen, but yet the Holy Spirit, I believe, wasn't just speaking to Dwell Church, but has been speaking to the church, and we've just seen, we're seeing and have seen this theme of miracles. And we launched this series here in March called I Believe in Miracles. I Believe in Miracles. And Pastor David opened up the series talking about the power of the testimony. And then last week, Bob Sorge spoke on getting ready to steward your miracle. And this week, I want to talk to you about the subject, I still believe in miracles. I still believe in miracles. Would you say that with me? I still believe in miracles. Yes, we're talking about I believe in miracles, but do you still believe in miracles? Because last week we talked about waiting on the promise of God, waiting for our healing, waiting for our breakthrough. You know, the woman with the issue of blood waited 12 years, but got her healing. Abraham waited 20 plus years, but got his son. The Israelites wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, but eventually entered into the promised land. But what do you do when your LDP, your life-dependent prayer, as Bob Sorge said last week, gets the answer, no? When what you've waited for, It just totally halts and stops. There's no more waiting. It's a total misdirection. What do you do when you get the answer no, and your miracle doesn't come to pass? Do you still believe in miracles? But his promises are yes and amen. I felt like he promised me this. Why did I lose my job? Why did he die? Why did she leave me? I've been praying and fasting for this for days, weeks, months, years, decades. And a total no? What do? One word, trust. You trust that even though you didn't get what you wanted, he has something better. Somebody say better. He has something better. There is a bigger miracle at stake. There is a bigger miracle at stake. That is faith. That is faith. When you can still believe in miracles and still trust, even though you don't get what you want, your faith goes to another level. For what is faith unless it's tested? I love the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in Daniel 3. I won't go all the way into it, but I love the faith of these three Hebrew boys who wouldn't bend and wouldn't bow to a false idol that Nebuchadnezzar had built. And they said in verse 17, if we are, in Daniel 3, verse 17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But here's verse 18. This is faith, tested faith. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your God or worship the image that you have set up. We still won't bend, and we still won't bow. When we look at Hebrews 11, we talked about this last week. It's titled Faith in Action. It's the Hall of Faith. And we see by faith that so many, Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham and Moses and Abraham again and Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Joseph and Rahab, and the list goes on. But as it starts to get there in the 30 verses, they're in the 30s. There in verse 35 and 36, it starts talking about people who were jeered and flogged and imprisoned and put to death and cast out into the wilderness and persecuted. But verse 38, it said the world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, living in caves and in holes in the ground. Verse 39, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. Here we go, verse 40, since God had planned something better. Do you trust that God has something better? Just say better. Say, I still believe. What does it say about your faith if you give up when you don't get what you want? Was it faith in the first place? Or all along have we just been spiritual brats? Does our faith have conditions? I only believe if you give me what I want. But what I wanted wasn't a bad thing. I wanted him to live. I wanted her to stay. That would have been a good thing and God would have gotten glory. Do you trust that he has something better? It may not make sense, but still, do you believe in miracles? And I meant to say this at the top, and I just feel led to release this. Miracles are coming. Miracles are happening. Miracles are now. Miracles are coming. Miracles are happening. Miracles are now. But do you trust him? Do you trust him that he has a bigger miracle at stake, that he has something better? We can't help but think when we talk about trust and miracles, we have to lean into Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, I like the NIV, submit and he will make your path straight. Verse 5, trust him. Trust him when you're up. Trust him when you're down. Trust him when he gives you a yes. Trust him when he gives you a no. In all things, with all of your heart, trust him. And then what does it say? And lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to wrap your brain around it. It's like the fruit that was on the tree in the garden. Just leave it alone. Don't touch it. You won't understand this. Don't lean on your own understanding. I know you have questions, but can you trust that his ways are higher, that his thoughts are greater? And in spite of your situation and how it feels, do you still believe he has a plan, a good plan, a better plan? Isaiah 55, verse 8 through 11 says this, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. Says, who says this? Declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And I love this in verse 10. There's a purpose in this. Verse 10, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word, my thoughts that come out of my mouth and my mind. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. His ways are greater, they're higher. There is a purpose. I know it may not make sense now or even ever to you on this earth, but don't try to lean on your understanding. Lean into him. What do? You do what the next verse says. Submit. Submit to him. Let go. We said that in Proverbs 3, there in 5 and 6. Verse 6, in all your ways, submit. Let go of your control. I love this right here. You can't trust something unless you give up. You can't trust something unless you give up. If you are trying to control it, come on, somebody, you are not trusting. Trust him with your kids. Trust him with your finances. Trust him with your health. Trust him with your future. Trust him with your life. If you are trying to control it, you are not trusting. Listen, this is what God is good at. The creator of the universe, give it to him. He knows more. There's something greater. And let me remind you, there's something better. So let me release that again. Miracles are coming. Miracles are happening. Miracles are now. Miracles are coming. Miracles are happening. Miracles are now. Come on, somebody. Listen, It may be that God is wanting to produce something through you in this season. When you feel like it was a no, it could potentially be a resounding yes in a bigger area. He's wanting to produce fruit. He's wanting to produce glory. He's wanting to produce something through this. As we read there in Isaiah 55, he sends rain and snow. Does it return without making it bud and flourish? There's purpose to his ways. Whether God says yes or God says no, God will have his way and he will get glory. Listen, if you want a seed to grow, you got to bury it. Some things have to die. Some things have to be buried in order for some things to grow. Come on. Anything you want to grow, you got to cut it. You got to cut it. Matthew 7, 19 says, every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So bad trees get cut down and thrown into the fire. But if a tree bears good fruit, what is the reward of producing good fruit? You get cut. So if a tree is good or bad, either way, you're going to get cut. One way or the other, God's going to produce something through this. The goal is fruit. The goal is glory. Miracles are coming. Miracles are happening. Miracles are now. The cutting, the pruning, the pain is a setup. When God gives you a no, I said this earlier, in one area, he's setting you up for a resounding yes in a bigger area. Let me say that again. When God gives you a no in one area, he's setting you up for a resounding yes in a bigger area. There is a greater miracle at stake. The miracle you want may not be the miracle you need. Oh, yeah. It may look different. We look at 1 Kings. When we think about it may look different. 1 Kings chapter 19, when God comes to speak to Elijah, 19 verses 11 through 13, we see that he tells him to go stand out on the edge of this cave, and he comes with a powerful wind. Yeah. It's not there. Comes with an earthquake. Not there. Comes with fire. Not there. But comes with a whisper. It may look different. Do you trust him? Do you trust him when it's not an earthquake? Do you trust him when it's not wind? Do you trust him when it's not fire? But all along it was a whisper. So how do you trust? Number one, let me encourage you. You pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 18 says, be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Pray without ceasing. I don't understand. Keep praying. I don't like the way this feels. Keep praying. Why? All the whys. Keep praying. The act of prayer is a sign of trust. I don't care what you talk to God about, just keep talking and keep listening. Yeah. And after you get done praying, you stand. Having done all, stand. Ephesians 6:13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, I feel like we're in a day of evil, at least the next 14, 15 days of quarantine, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything, what do? You stand. I don't know what to do. I didn't plan for this. I know. Just stand. You pray, you stand, and then what do? You wait on the Lord. They that wait on the Lord, Isaiah 40, 31, shall renew their strength. What does it mean in the Hebrew to wait? It means to get hooked on, attached to, stuck to get bound together. Listen, get hooked on his presence, get attached to his spirit, get stuck with him, get bound together in these moments of quarantine, draw close. But I'm mad at God. That's okay. Just be mad and stay close. I have questions. It's okay. Just be close enough to whisper those questions in his ear. Your strength is found with him in his presence. Worship. Wait on the Lord. So we pray, we stand, and we wait. God, we trust you. We still believe in miracles. I want to share with you my testimony. Some of you know that Jocelyn and I, my beautiful wife right here, it was my birthday last Sunday, March the 15th, and on that Sunday 3 years ago is when Jocelyn surprised me and told me that we were pregnant. We found out we were going to have the son that God prophesied we would have, and he would be a healer. And at about 14 weeks into the pregnancy, we did some blood work to find out the gender, and we found out, yes, the promise was true. We were having a son, but that he had a disease called trisomy 18, Edwards syndrome. Actually, the month of March is Trisomy Awareness Month. And it's a disease I never heard of, but this disease made Jackson Malachi Brockman, they said he will be incompatible with life, to immediately to abort him. And we said, no, we're going to trust the Lord because we believe we have a promise. And he's not going to live. He's going to die. He won't even make it to birth. More than likely, he'll be stillborn. And if he is born, he may live days, maybe months. Are you sure? We still believe in miracles. God, we trust you. And so we stood in faith from 14 weeks into 7.5 months into the pregnancy till one day his heart stopped. But we prayed, we fasted, we worshiped. I can confidently say we did everything the Father told us to do. I have no regrets. The enemy cannot torture me with, you could have done more. He tried one time, and that was one time too many. I knew that this was God's plan. There was something in all of this, even though I was hurting and broken. And there his heart stops beating in his mother's womb. But we keep worshiping. We keep praying. They can't get her in the hospital for a week. So there is Jackson dead in his mother's womb. And what do? We lay hands on her every day and say, live and not die. I believe you can do it. I had hope for it. But that wasn't his plan. There was something better. There was a bigger miracle at stake. I don't understand this, Lord. I just pray. I stand. Yeah. Come on. And I wait. Pray, I stand, and I wait. And then we get into the hospital, 48 hours of labor and one push, and there he is. And I thought he was going to come out, and I would hear him cry. I knew it. I was like, this is it. Nothing. Lifeless. And in our broken moment, what to us was the worst case scenario had happened. And what did we do? We worshiped. We put our hands together with a broken heart and tears in our eyes and said, God, you are good. We trust you. Even though this is not the way I wanted it. I wanted that miracle, and that would have been a really good miracle. But God's saying, there's more I want to do through your son. There's more I want to do through this brokenness. There's more. Do you trust me with your son? Do you trust me with your pain? Do you still believe in miracles? God, it hurts, but yes, yes, I do. Well, where is the miracle, John? There were so many miracles. I don't have time to tell you through the whole thing, but even on the day he was born, the fact that we didn't curse God, but we worshiped was a miracle. Come on, somebody. Listen, the fact that we're still married and in love, 80% of marriages that lose children end in divorce, and our marriage is stronger than it's ever been, that's a miracle. And the fact that a healing revival, yes, my son maybe didn't live on this earth, but he lives on streets of gold. What he produced in our family is still like an avalanche being birthed into the earth. A revival of healing is breaking out. Through me, through my wife, through my children, through our church. And it wouldn't have happened if we would have got what we wanted. We know God's grace. We know God's mercy. I know his love. I know his peace. I know who my God is because he's near to the broken. He's been near to us. And there's more he's doing through that. So I just want to ask you today, as Pastor David, if you wouldn't mind going to the keyboard. Thank you, Pastor. I always feel awkward asking your pastor to come to the keyboard, but he is the man. I just want to challenge you today. Is there something that you had your hopes up for, something you've been praying for, desiring, and it just didn't happen? Just want to ask you, do you trust him? Do you still believe in miracles? Maybe you say, I believe miracles can happen for you, but do you believe that miracles can happen for you? Miracles can happen for you. Yes, they can happen for me, but God loves you. Miracles can happen for you. Miracles are coming. Miracles are happening. Miracles are now. Do you see the miracles in the process? Do you see that you're still standing? Do you see that you're still worshiping? Do you see that your family's stronger? Do you see that? Come on, do you see? We look at the life of Jesus Christ. We look at his life in the garden. He didn't want the cross in his humanness, but he knew there was a greater miracle at stake. Even being crucified, he could have called angels down to take him off the cross, but he didn't because there was a greater miracle at stake. He could have rose on the first day, the second day, but he rose on the third day because there was the great miracle, redemption, for you and for me. So I just want to encourage you today, don't stop believing. Believe in miracles. Miracles are coming. Miracles are happening. Miracles are now. And maybe you didn't get what you wanted. Trust that he has something better. So Lord, we wherever we are, we lift our hands and just say, God, we trust you. We trust you. We trust you. I don't understand, but we pray. We stand and we wait. We get hooked on you. We're not going to control it. We're not going to lean on our own understanding, but we're going to submit. You're going to make our path straight. There's a greater glory coming. There's a greater miracle coming right now in the name of Jesus. And I even believe through this coronavirus, there is a bigger miracle at stake. There is something happening. We didn't plan for this. This was not on our radar, our calendar, our Google calendar. Come on. This was not there. But God had a bigger miracle at stake. There was a bigger plan. And I believe through all of this, we're going to come out stronger, better. The church is going to be unified. It's going to be incredible. So we just bless you today in Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today at the Dwell Church Podcast. For more information about Dwell Church, visit us at dwell.church.